Title of the message this morning is Coming Up Thankful. Everyone say, Coming Up Thankful. Pray this prayer after me. Father God, I declare by faith that my mind is prepared, my heart is ready, and my spirit is excited to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, sticking a little bit along the line of the D6 curriculum, I have to be there a little bit from Job, and this is the scripture that I'm going to read to you. Job said, "After going through all sorts of trials, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord." In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. And I'll bring Job up a little bit later in this message this morning. He only had one thing wrong there, Job did, and he kind of did through the whole thing. He said God took it away. God didn't take it away. God allowed Satan to take it away. And he had a plan and a purpose for all of it. Title of this message this morning is Coming Up Thankful. I don't know if one of you ever heard of Rudyard Kipling, great author and poet, English author from several years ago, wrote the Jungle Book series that made Disney very popular, wrote a lot of short stories like The Man Who Would Be King. He was a prolific poet in his time, a great poet, wrote one called If, and a very famous one. But it was said in England that in his heyday, every word that Rudyard Kipling wrote was worth 25 shillings, every word. So hearing that, a group of college students got together and wrote him a letter and said, "We understand that every word that you write is worth 25 shillings. Enclosed is 25 shillings. Please send us your best word." A couple days later, from Mr. Kipling, a telegram came to those guys, consisted of one word, I guess his best word. It simply said, "Thanks." That may be one of the best words, amen, in the English language or any language. Gratitude and thankfulness are some of the most precious gifts that you and I have. I wrote this little poem out, I think it's on our PowerPoint. "Where thanks for every gift expressed, each day would be thanksgiving. Where gratitude is very best, each life would be thanks living." We not only want to give thanks, but we want to live a life of thankfulness. We want our lives to be lives of thankfulness, thanksgiving, but also thanks living. You can follow along in Luke if you want to in chapter 2, starting in verse 33. Kind of traditionally associated a little bit with Christmas time, but it's a great, I think, Thanksgiving portion of Scripture as well. Starting with verse 33, "Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. They had taken him to the temple to have him dedicated, so to speak. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, the baby's mother, 'This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God and fasting. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." I don't know if you ever heard a message about Anna before. I've talked about her a few times in the past. She's a great lady. We're told not a lot of information about her. We're given the name of her father, the name of the tribe that her father came from, Asher. We're given what the writer calls her great age. I guess I take that to mean growing older is a great thing. It's a good thing to get older. Maybe the implication is as we get older, we get a little wiser. I don't know. That should be. I'm not sure that's true. But I personally don't mind getting older. I'm not old, neither are you, but we're older than we were and not as old as we're going to be, right? Even people who complain about their age, when I would say, "Would you like to go back and do it all over again?" The answer is generally no, 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 no. Anna is of great age, either 84 or 91, probably depending on how you read this or what scholar you're trying to determine what her age is, but or how you interpret 7 years of marriage, but we're given her status as a widow. I've said this before. There are times when I read through Scripture that I see humor. Sometimes no one else does. Maybe I'm a little weird that way. But I really do, and this is one of those times. We see this lady here, Anna, having been married for 7 years, and the next 84 years, that's how you interpret the Scripture, she's in the temple working, serving. Now, either in that 7 years of marriage, this guy was the most incredible, wonderful, giving, loving husband in all the whole world. And she could never find another like him, and she was never going to try. So she stayed single for the next 84 years. Or she had had enough in 7 years. And so that's enough. I've had it. I'm going to the temple. I'm going to work there. I'm going to pray and fast and praise. I wonder what our wives would do after seven. Never mind. I won't even go there. It also mentions Anna's devotion to God, to his house. And in verse 38 there, she comes up in the opening scripture. Only once in all the Bible, but she comes up thankful. You know, there are a lot of people, many times in the scripture, who come up only one time. A great opportunity to make a name, a godly name for themselves, and they blew it. The rich young ruler. How many people did Jesus actually physically, audibly call to come and follow him? He looks at this young man with a look of love and says, come, sell everything you have, come and follow me. What an incredible opportunity. But the Bible says he went away sad and sorrowful, turned his back on Jesus. He had too many riches, too many possessions, and he wasn't about to change, and that's what he's known for. There's another guy in the Old Testament, King David's brother, Eliab, the older brother. He saw Samuel anoint David, and then when there was war, he came, David did, to the front lines. You read the story. Listen, he could have been a part of a great thing. He could have encouraged his brother. He could have been there right by his side. Instead, he exhibits a spirit of jealousy, anger, bitterness, and he disappears from the pages of Scripture. That's what he's known for. Anna comes up one time, and she comes up thankful. Spirit of gratitude, spirit of thanksgiving. The Bible says it's a tremendous thing. It's honored in Scripture. It's revered. Listen, Paul actually lists unthankfulness, ingratitude, as one of the great sins of mankind that's going to usher in the last days. All the list of the ugly, terrible sins, right in the middle of it all, is ungrateful. Remember when Jesus healed the 10 lepers? Wow, what a miracle that was. I mean, leprosy was a dreaded disease. It not only ate away at a person's body, but it took them out of society. They were unclean. They couldn't go near anybody. They couldn't go to the temple. They were isolated for the rest of their miserable lives. And Jesus encounters the 10 lepers, and he supernaturally, miraculously heals them. And they get up and they run back, probably to their families and their friends, to show them that they're clean. Look at, I've been healed. And it occurs to one of them, wait a minute. Jesus just healed me. Amen. And so he turns and runs back and he falls at the feet of Jesus. And he thanks him for what he did. And Jesus, in his own way, and probably to us who read the scripture, says, that's wonderful, but I thought I healed 10. Where are the other 9? It's kind of an indictment against ingratitude, don't you think? I trust this morning that you and I would be part of the 10%. God touches and blesses you, helps you, directs you, heals you, restores you, guides you, and leads you. That we'd be part of that 10% that says, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. In fact, every day, right? Two wonderful stories. One that reflects ingratitude, one that reflects gratitude. Winston Churchill, that name ring a bell to you? Great formal leader of England. Tells one that reflects ingratitude. A sailor that served under his command. And Winston Churchill tells how this sailor who was under his command once plunged into the cold seas of Plymouth Harbor to save a drowning boy. It was a gallant rescue, and it saved the boy's life. A few days later, the gallant hero meets the boy on the streets of Plymouth with his mother. The youngster nudges his mother, who had remembered seeing the seaman at least once before. She couldn't be positive, so she said, "Are you the one that saved my child?" The seaman snapped to attention, saluted with a smile on his face, and said, "Yes, ma'am." I'm sure already in the back of his mind, he was trying to think of a response to her expression of gratitude that was about to come, but she saved him the trouble. Her face was in stern lines and very heated, harshly unsmiling lips snapped back. Then what happened to a sailor's cap? True story. Sorrowful humor in gratitude. Have you ever heard of Matthew Henry? He was a great biblical scholar from time past. I even had some of his books in my library. A lot of his commentaries are still used in Bible training schools, colleges, by pastors, teachers alike. One of the greatest. He was once accosted by thieves and robbed of his wallet. And he went home and he took out his diary, and this is what he wrote. He said, "Let me be thankful for four things. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they didn't take my life. Third, because although they took everything I had in the wallet, it really wasn't very much. And because it was I who was robbed and not I who did the robbing." Attitude of thanksgiving and attitude of gratitude. In a grateful heart, church, there's no room for bitterness, no room for hatred, no room for envy, no room for jealousy. And in the scripture today, up comes Anna, and she comes up thankful, and that isn't always easy to do, is it? Thanksgiving time. It can be hard sometimes to dredge up a bit of gratitude when an entire nation supposedly celebrates a day called Thanksgiving, and in the midst of stuff that's going on, sickness, COVID, politics, sometimes it's not easy. We can probably figure something out. We can probably come up with something to respond to that. But are we a people who, in the midst of circumstances, come up grateful as each new experience in life, good or bad, comes our way? I think there are moments, even in the dullest of days, when something good and unexpected can happen if we're alert to it. You know what I mean? Maybe just a phone call from a friend or email from someone who gives you a word of encouragement. Maybe a beautiful sunset, and there have been so many of them, aren't there, in the past several weeks. Somebody says something kind of humorous, true, that kind of gets your mind off of what's going on. Maybe it's the birth of a baby. All these kinds of things. I remember Pastor Erickson, the founder of this church, used to always say from the pulpit so many times, "I'm so thankful that I have a warm home and I have warm water and good food to eat and a warm bed to sleep." And he would express those gratitude for those simple things that's so easy to take for granted, aren't they? My mother was a grateful person, thankful for the things. As her life got harder, towards the end, she got more grateful. Thankful for her family, thankful for what she had. A few years back, I got a phone call from a friend of mine who lives in Washington, D.C., and we were in education together down in Seneca, Wisconsin, when I was a teacher and he was the principal, and Jeannie and I got to be excellent friends with himself and his wife, and he always pastored a little church besides his job as a principal. And I was helping him down there with this little church, doing some of the education stuff, and but I got this call, and he still calls me from time to time, and I still call him. Now he's retired. He worked for the Department of Education after he left Seneca, and I moved here. But he called me. He always calls me Bruette. He said, "Bruette, I came across a poem. I want to read it to you." And so he read this poem. And three or four times as he's reading it, he kind of breaks down a little bit. It was a beautiful short poem about friendship. And he ended it, said, "I just want to tell you that you're the best friend that I've ever had. And I love you, and I thank you," and he hung up the phone. How do you think that made me feel? A phone call. A word. A card. An expression. It doesn't take that much to express thanks to someone for some of the things that they have done or what they mean to you. The normal things, we can come up thankful. And generally when things are good, when blessings are flowing, we can come up with a glad and grateful response. But what about the hard times? What about the bad times? What about the times we get bad news about health or finances or family? And it seems like it might be hypocritical to say thank you, God, but we can surely be thankful for the grace of God that helps us get through those difficult times. The promises. So we read the word that he will be with us, that he'll give us courage and hope to make it through even when the news is awful. When the shock has passed of that news, to come up grateful as we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit somewhere down deep within us saying, listen, my grace will be sufficient for you in this circumstance. An evergreen is always green despite the changes in the weather around it. An evergreen is green in the hottest time of the summer and in the coldest, harshest times of winter. It's always green, unaffected by the changes around it. Whatever the heat of circumstances are, friends, when the dark cold of life pain strikes us, I believe that we can stand evergreen in thankfulness regardless of what surrounds us. I found in years of senior pastoring that those who have gone through some of the hardest and the most difficult of times are sometimes those who are the most grateful and express the most gratitude. Seems interesting, doesn't it? Friends of mine and Jeannie's who moved away several years ago, they were part of this church. They left and the lady eventually got cancer and she died. The husband got cancer and is still actually dealing with it. But I remember talking on the phone to them and I was continually amazed that I would hear words of gratitude. Thankful to God, thankful for friends, thankful for a church, thankful for a God who cared for them. Words of gratitude. And I've heard it from many of you in difficult times that you have gone through. Words of gratitude for the presence of God in the presence of friends. Some of you who have lost family, husbands, wives, children. Words of gratitude. Thank you, Lord, for your care. Thank you, Lord, for the church family, for brothers and sisters who have helped me through all of it. I have so much to be thankful for. When the diagnosis is hard, words of thanksgiving, knowing that Christ is there to help us through those things, not only is it an inspiration, but it's a blessing. And friends, it's a testimony to the power of God. You think those in Scripture like Job, could ever a man have had reason to complain? When the Lord said to Satan, consider my servant Job. I hope he never says that about me. At least in that way. Don't put me in the hands of Satan. People like King David in the most difficult of times and circumstances, when he was most down and out, when things were going against him and his wife and his enemies, and he said his health was failing me and his enemies were after me. This is what he wrote in Psalm 92 and verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Aren't you grateful this morning that you belong to a household of faith? Aren't you glad you're part of a church and a church family that cares about you? Communion of saints that includes those who have praised God from the depths of their difficulty and suffering, a coming up thankful, a victorious grace, a victorious mercy. What an insight into the heart of God to know that we can know what God does. We can say like the psalmist in Psalm 39, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too great for me to understand. We can be thankful for those who are able to, in the midst of their crisis, come up thankful, testify for the Lord. We've all experienced the gratitude of hindsight, haven't we? Wow, I see how things have worked out, Lord. That's amazing what you've did through that very, very hard time. But that's not the theme this morning. The theme this morning is a thanksgiving, which results in a thanksgiving, which results in a coming up grateful at a time when you're going through something very difficult. It's one thing to respond to an invitation or give thanks to God in a hymn or a song to remember spiritual blessings. But it's another thing to allow God to do a work in us, that we can come up grateful when things begin to happen in our lives. We read about Anna here, and she comes up grateful at that very moment. She gives thanks to God. It's not a question of duty for her. It's not a question of obligation. It's not a question of obligation for us. It's a matter of commitment. Committing myself to be the kind of person with the help of the Holy Spirit who can come up grateful in the midst of the circumstances. When life breaks into our lives throughout the day, we're led by Anna in this question to ask a deeper question. Am I willing to give thanks to God every day for what he's done for me? Am I the kind of person who will come up grateful every day? The average congregation hears the invitation. Well, let's give thanks. We sang the song. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Let's sing the song of worship and praise. And say, well, I'm going to get in the mood now. I'm going to put this other stuff aside. I'm going to work into it. And if we work it hard enough, somehow we can come up with a little gratitude. But supposing the invitation was from now on, we're going to try, by the grace of God, to come up thankful in each and every circumstance. Now, that's getting down to business, isn't it, church? What spills out in a moment of crisis will always depend on what you have down inside of you. How you respond is not circumstantial. It's dependent on what you have deep down inside. Something bumps into your life. Circumstances bump up against you. And what spills out of you and me says a lot about what we have on the inside. Pastor Erickson used to say often, circumstances don't make, but they certainly reveal. You know what? The grumbler will grumble because that's what the grumbler does. That's what he has on the inside. The cynic will shrug his shoulders. The irritable will get angry. The thankful will thank God. Developing a lifestyle and allowing God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to come in and change us and make us that kind of person. We're not so easily labeled with our character set in concrete like that, but I believe as we get older, we are more and more seem to be dominated by a particular characteristics. You know what? Your friends, your family, I think, can accurately predict how you're going to react in any certain circumstance. The more you think about it, the more you're going to find out that that's probably pretty true. What is your predictable response in a circumstance? You say, well, I don't know. Well, ask your family. Ask your spouse. Ask your kids. Will they dare to be truthful with you? Or do they know what your response would be if they were? How do I respond in a certain situation? I think you'll learn a lot about who you are. I can think of nothing better for any of us this morning but to set our course with God's help to be thankful, grateful people. How do we do it? Well, let's have another look at Anna. I see her as this old lady who comes up thankful, and she sees this baby in the temple. She's alert to the presence of God. She could have missed the greatest opportunity of her life. I said, you know, she could have said, I hate it when they bring little babies into the church. They cry, they make a fuss, they disturb my time with God. I wish they wouldn't disturb my prayer time with all that crying and fussing and mussing, yelling infants get between me and God. Anna had no children of her own, but she was thankful for the children that God gave to others. She considered them to be a great blessing, and she wanted to be a part of that. And God blesses her spirit and gives her an insight. This child is no ordinary child. Had she been bitter or angry, tuned out, she would have missed it. But the Son of God is placed into her hands. The Redeemer. And Anna can't wait to get out and spread the news, the Bible says, to all those who were looking for the liberation of Jerusalem. How did she get that way? Luke tells us that the church was kind of the center of her life, maybe with a little exaggeration, that she worshiped there day and night, fasting and praying. But translate that into our terms, we learn that acquiring a thankful spirit, a thankful nature, has a lot to do with acquiring regular habits of worship and praise and prayer and the Word of God and instruction. You come into a church setting, You commit yourself to praising and worshiping the Lord. Building one another up in faith, singing worship to the Lord so that you can get so full that you can go back into your home and carry that spirit of praise and worship with you. Right back to the place you are. To come in or committed to doing that. It's important for you and me, I think, to be in the house of God. It's not a duty. It's not an obligation. I hope you come to church because you want to be here. I sense that you do, by the way. I need to confess something to you this morning. I've been to, especially when I was active as senior pastor, go to a lot of pastoral conventions and such things in the state and sometimes out of state. And I would brag on this church. I would brag on you because all too often I would hear pastors whining and complaining about their church and their people. They just won't get with it. This, that, and the other thing. Pastors can be an interesting group of people when you get them all together in one place. But I'm glad that I can sense for the most part here on a Sunday morning, people are here because they want to be here. People who love God, who love to praise, who love to worship, who love prayer time, who love to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. A thankful nature, and Anna had a lot to do with those habits of worship and prayer. And friends, don't we know that prayer changes things?
Yes, sir.
But you know what? Most of all, it changes us. It changes us. We need to be people of prayer. And we'll never develop, I don't think, a regular habit of an attitude of gratitude if we're not people of prayer, communicating with our Father God, talking to Him, sharing with Him your deepest, inmost thoughts and feelings and truthfulness and circumstances, and hearing that still small voice of the Holy Spirit coming through your spirit, coming through the Word of God, coming through the preacher, saying God loves you, God cares for you, God is in control of your life, God will never leave you, He'll never forsake you, He's always there for you. Putting a priority on the Word of God. You do that and you learn a lot about gratitude. You learn a lot about thankfulness. There are scores and hundreds of verses in the Bible that refer to thankfulness and gratitude and all those kinds of things. And because of that, we can conclude we do, that thankfulness is pretty important. That spontaneous coming up thankful is much more likely if we exercise the disciplines of setting times to do so. Praying, studying God's word, worshiping with a household of faith. But if there is some special thanksgiving in your heart today, it is because a general sense of thanksgiving has already been planted in your soul. In this morning, church, my prayer for you, for me, would be that God would so work in us the grace of a grateful spirit. This very moment, whatever happens to you today or in the future, whatever the unexpected is, you and I can be like Anna of old. Spirit of God flowing through you. Touching you, touching others. And when the things of life occur, and they will, you go through life and things happen, God help us, like Anna, to come up grateful, not because of circumstances. Things happen and we're not happy for them. Not because of circumstances, not for everything, but in everything. It says in everything give thanks, right? It doesn't say for everything. I'm not happy when I'm sick. I'm not happy when things go wrong or people suffer. But in everything, we recognize the presence of God and the power of Holy Spirit, who is above all circumstances, and we can give thanks. How? Because we know the God who is the God of those circumstances. We know who He is. We know who we are through Him. And we can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that in the midst of these circumstances, I am not alone. You are here with me. We have Christian friends, brothers and sisters, people who help each other to carry the burdens. And that's what it's all about, to be a part of the family of God. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? So let's commit in this season, when things are chaotic in our world. Listen, God's in control of what's going on. There is no ruler who is above God. There is no power who is above God. It's all working out for His glory. And you know what else? For our good, too. Do you believe that? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we are thankful. But you said, whosoever will can come and receive the great gift of salvation. And I'm thankful, Lord, for everyone in this congregation this morning who at one time in their life said, Jesus, I give my life to you. I'm thankful for what you've done, for shedding your blood on the cross of Calvary, paying the price for my salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, maybe there's some here this morning, and just keep your eyes closed for a moment, if you would, who have never made that commitment or said yes. I don't know. I know a lot of you. I don't know all of you. But if you're here this morning and you've never said, Jesus, come into my heart and life, I want to receive the gift of salvation, I'd love to just say a closing prayer for you. I'm going to ask that you would raise your hand till I see it, and you can put it right back down again. I'd like to give everyone that opportunity every Sunday when I'm up here preaching or any other church preaching. One more question. How many say, Pastor Jerry, I have really been struggling with anything about gratefulness. It's been so hard. Life has been so hard. And I've gone through so many things and so many people I know. And it's just been so hard to have any feeling of gratefulness or gratitude. But I've heard the word this morning, and I want to develop, like Anna, a sense of gratitude that in the middle of the hardest circumstances, I can come up thankful because of who you are, what you've done, what you're doing, and the promises in God's word of what you're going to do. And I need some help with that, especially now. Pastor, would you remember me in closing? Would you raise your hand? You can put it right back down. Your hand's going up, sure. Yep. Yeah, you can put them down. Thank you. Father, it's only the help and the power of your Holy Spirit that we can be the kind of person that you want us to be and that we want to be too. And so, Lord, I just pray that as we go through the day today, that you would bring things to mind, good things to mind that you've done, that the promises of your word would stand out so clearly and so powerfully that we can, even in the middle of some hard times, say, thank you, Lord, that you're here with me. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me in the past. And I know what you're going to do for me in the future. So I'm going to give thanks to you today. And Lord, you're going to help me overcome these things. And I'm going to become that kind of a person, Lord, that in the midst of these things, I'm going to be able to see your hand moving in my life. Now, Lord, as we go our way to our homes, to the places where life takes us, I pray, Lord, that every circumstance of every person that's represented here, that they would see your hand moving in their lives, that as they go to their homes, Lord, that the prayers that they've been praying for people in their lives, that they would never go discouraged about you answering those prayers, Lord. But we would trust, have faith, and have hope, Lord, in you. Jesus Christ, our living hope, both now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a great day today. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap.